from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Well, the funny thing is we actually play the first three games at the AFC South. So I've been in the AFC South for a while. Obviously, we got Tennessee week one, so I know a lot of those guys. And I'm kind of going to be giving the scout report a little bit for the whole team, even if Caleb needs anything as well. So I have a really good experience with those guys. But honestly, I haven't started watching just yet. I think we're all kind of just trying to be where our feet is, kind of really hone in on these small things in training camp. And as we get, you know, further into the preseason, probably after our second preseason game, we're probably going to just have like some individual meetings with like the leaders on the defense to just start watching film on these other teams. And more than likely, it's going to be Tennessee, because you want to kind of focus on week one, starting out fast, and then we'll continue to move on as we go along.
That's Bears safety Kevin Byard. I imagine he's going to become one of these go-to post-game guys, because he sounds like a grown man.
He's seen everything.
Tells the truth, and he's got the kind of experience that informs such opinions. So let's also get some informed football opinions now from one of our favorites. She covers the NFC North for Fox Sports, and she is Carmen Vitale. She is on Twitter at CarmiV, and she's the NFC North reporter on the Score Hotline that is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com. Hello, Carmen.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good. What did you think of Hard Knocks?
That they know their audience very well. Just the Alan Parsons Project, the Sirius, like with Caleb coming out with, it was incredible. It gave me chills. I just wonder though if any of the guys on the team, especially like Caleb, really understand like what that did to the rest of Chicago. And like what that all meant, because if you weren't there for Jordan, does it really like hold that much weight?
Nope.
That was by far my favorite moment of the episode, though.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, you'd have to ask them if they know anything about this, and they probably don't, because football is often siloed. And we found that out when Kay was like, oh, I never played baseball. I don't know how to slide. Like all of this stuff that goes on when you're a high level football player. So what have you heard about how camp has gone for the Bears?
It seems like it's going well. I was there last week. God, I'm already losing track of what the days are. Yeah, I was there last week for a couple of days. And from years past, I don't know, it seemed a lot more organized, if that's the right word. Everything was a little bit more crisp. We actually saw them at one point at the end of practice go over how they were going to go out on the field for the Hall of Fame game and warm up, and like where the lines were and which position groups were where and all this kind of stuff. And it's those little things that you don't really think about, but you absolutely should probably practice things like that just to make sure that nobody looks confused. And then that becomes the whole story when the game comes. So I really appreciated just kind of how regimented everything seemed. And I mean, the defense is still winning days more often than not. But that's kind of to be expected when you have a defensive head coach who's had the same scheme in there for a couple of years and a lot of the same guys.
That defensive coach just announced moments ago that Caleb Williams and the starters will be playing on Saturday. So they can go from some of these desultory practices to an actual game against another team. What should we take from what we see in this first real exhibition game?
Yeah, I think it's the little things like, you know, cadences. Does Caleb look comfortable doing stuff like that? I don't expect them to do anything crazy as far as offensive plays go. I think you just kind of get the basics down. It'll probably look pretty vanilla, but it's just more about getting the timing and the rhythm and knowing the speed of the game a little bit more, even though preseason isn't quite to the level of the regular season. And just to see the command that Caleb Williams has over the huddle, I took away, especially from Hard Knocks, like how likable of a guy he really is. And it's not hard to see why all of these guys see that he's such a good teammate or say that he's such a good teammate. He's fun and he's got personality, and that's not a bad thing. And that's something that can galvanize a team around you, especially when you're a young guy being thrust into a leadership position.
Carmen, you and I have been having this conversation since April about what's fair when you're looking at the Bears in this particular season. I know that people very easily want to make the CJ Stroud comp, but that to me is a bit of an outlier. So as you've learned more about the Bears and about Caleb, what do you think is fair for Bears fans to expect, considering most Bears fans are like, hey, it's time for y'all to be a playoff team?
I know. And I'm of the opinion that wins are not a quarterback stat. So the season that CJ Stroud had was an outlier for so many reasons, not just for his individual development, because of the team success. But we also forget about the fact that the Texans had played last year in one of the worst divisions. The Jacksonville Jaguars completely collapsed down the stretch and opened the door for the Texans to do that. Now, that's not taking anything away from what CJ Stroud did and taking advantage of the position that the Texans were put in by the end of the year. But that the AFC South is not the NFC North. The NFC North this year has at least two playoff teams in it. I don't see the Lions or the Packers taking a step back from what they were last year. I really, frankly, see them getting better. So you can't compare team success when it comes to CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams. Individually, I think that there is room for Caleb Williams to be really, really good this year. And by the end of the season, I mean, if he's flirting with 3,500 to 4,000 yards, I'm ecstatic if I'm a Bears fan saying, all right, he's got it. Like, this is a system that is new. There's a lot of new pieces around Caleb Williams. It's going to take a little while to go. But my fun answer, because like you said, Lawrence, you and I have been talking about this since April. My fun answer that I've now developed, though, is there is a sweet spot of teams right before a certain Week 11 game against the Green Bay Packers, which is when the Bears open up division play. There is a sweet spot plus the bye week in there where the Bears can really take advantage and stack some wins. If they do that and you go into Soldier Field week 11 and you beat the Green Bay Packers, where you Soldier Field, where you haven't won against them 12 out of the last 13 times. If you do that, I don't care if you win another game the rest of the season. That is going to tell Bears fans that this is working and that they should believe that this time is actually different. So that's my fun answer. Go beat the Packers week 11 and the whole city will be behind you.
If you want to check out our guest, Carmen Vitale, on Twitch, you can. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Ryan Bates reportedly left practice today with a trainer, meaning the interior line is in, frankly, a terrible condition. And yep. The good news is it's only the first week of August and they can get this out of the way now, but it again continues to cast light on something that we may look back at and ask if it was neglected. And I've been on this regarding the center position being more important than the Bears have decided that it is, but now there are guard issues as well.
Yeah, I was surprised that even last year they didn't bring in more of an experienced center. And then this year they do. They bring in Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates. Coleman Shelton started last year. Ryan Bates has played a lot of football as well. They're new to the Bears, but they are veterans. I appreciated that because I think that having a veteran center in front of a rookie quarterback is the right formula. That is such an important relationship and the way that veteran centers can help ID things for this, you know, the quarterbacks behind them and take some stuff off of their plate early in their careers is extremely important. So I'm glad that they have competition there, but more importantly, that should translate to depth. But what you're not counting on is then guards going down on either side of them. And that has, we haven't seen Nate Davis be in the lineup consistently. Tevin Jenkins, you know, he's battled through his own injury, but he's been taking care of his body a lot this offseason. I had the wonderful opportunity to train with him a little bit over the summer. I hope that the Bears need a little bit of luck, because there's only so many guys that you can afford to have go down, especially in front of a rookie quarterback. And that is concerning to me too. And it's health, and it's not something you can do a lot about. You can try to insulate with some more depth. And that was another thing where I was hoping that they would maybe beef up the, you know, their depth behind most of these guys, especially on that interior, but we're going to see. I hope that none of these are serious injuries. Like you said, it's early August. If it's going to happen, at least have it happen now and have these guys ready to go for week one, because Caleb's going to need them.
Carmen, why are the Lions fighting everybody?
Are you surprised?
No.
It's Dan Campbell. Like, honestly, I'm sure publicly, like, he's like admonishing them and saying, you know, whatever, we incur a fine, yada, yada, yada. But you know, in that locker room, he's going like, good job, guys. Like, just way to go out there and show them you still got a chip on their shoulder and all this other stuff. I don't want anybody to get hurt. You obviously don't want your stars involved in all of this. But I don't know. I mean, Malik Nabers was the one instigating everything.
And Danny Dimes. How about
Danny
that?
Danny Dimes. Yeah. I mean, I get Daniel Jones. Like, he clearly has some pent-up frustration, and I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, he wants to fight his GM. That's who he wants to fight.
Exactly. And you can't exactly do that. So, especially with how he was portrayed on Hard Knocks. So, I totally understand the frustration coming out of the Giants. But, like, you know that the Lions aren't the team to pick a fight with, because they're going to come right back at you. And I thought it was excessive. Yes. There's not a space for real fighting in this sport, which is like the political answer, politically correct answer, I should say. But, you know, Dan Campbell was like secretly proud of his guys.
Yep. You sure do. How's JJ McCarthy doing?
Yeah, there's been a lot of good reports out of Vikings camp. And again, there's not a lot of pressure put on him. So he is just free to learn kind of at his own pace. I think that he has the exact right environment and the exact right coaches for him coming out of Michigan with limited reps. You have Kevin O'Connell, who is an incredible coach. I kept saying it over and over again. And then when we saw what he did last year with the carousel of quarterbacks after Kirk Cousins went down, I don't know how you look at that and don't realize that Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches, one of the best play callers in this league. That is wonderful. JJ McCarthy has some juice. The guys really like him, but it is still Sam Darnold that is taking reps with the ones, and for most of the reps with the ones, I should say. And he's the one that's going to be starting this season. I still don't see a realm where the Minnesota Vikings start JJ McCarthy week one. I don't think that's responsible. And why did you pay Sam Darnold $10 million then? You paid him that so you could have patience with your young quarterback and ease him into the league. And we've seen that work out time and time again. So he's doing well. And again, I don't think anybody's worried about his progress. I don't think anybody was worried about his progress. It's just a matter of reps and time and making sure that you don't throw him in there until he's ready.
I want to get back to Hard Knocks for a second. I know you talked about the part that you found sort of interesting as a fan. What about professionally? Was there anything there that was new? Anything there if you were taking notes and said, oh, well, that gives me some insight into how the Bears do their business?
It was very interesting to see Matt Eberflus in the quarterback's room. That's not something that's common. I have talked to multiple coaches, head coaches, defensive head coaches, in fact, that do not go into the quarterback room because they're holding their own meetings and they are just worried about that side of the ball. But I do think that it's not necessarily a bad thing when you have a rookie quarterback. That's the difference in this situation. And hearing this, the conversation between Matt Eberflus and his old coach, Nick Saban, talk about the pressures that these quarterbacks are under, for a defensive head coach to take such an interest and to take extra time, they could call it the breakfast club, going into the quarterback room and the quarterback meetings and making sure he understands what the quarterbacks are seeing against his defense, that gives Matt Eberflus a really 360 view of his roster and of the plays that are going on the field. I really appreciate that. It's just not common. That is so unique. And so when I was watching and I'm looking at Matt Eberflus in the corner of the quarterback meeting room, I'm like, wow, that's weird. And then I even, like I said, I even texted people that I know that I was like, is this more common than I think it is? And they were like, no.
Or no, was it? Or was it posed? Is this the kind of thing like, hey, get a shot of me in the quarterback's room? is it fair to question how real it is if it does seem different and abnormal?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, when I've been at practice, like I said, I was only at a couple of practices, but I don't know that I noticed Matt Eberflus around Caleb Williams as much as it was shown in the show, which, I mean, the magic of editing, all that kind of stuff. But I do think that there is some legitimacy to it as well, because everything is new, because he hasn't worked, you know, with Shane Waldron before, trying to figure out everything that's going on with Kerry Joseph, too, in the quarterback's room. I think it's probably
Ryan Griffin.
A little bit of both.
We got a lot of Ryan Griffin, and that's a guy who I think is going to matter.
You got, honestly, in the slip and slide video, they didn't show Griff's slide, which we saw the Bears post right after that day. Griff went head first. He did not slide, like a quarterback slide. But no, Griff is, I know Griff from Tampa. He's a wonderful guy, and I think he's going to absorb a lot and be able to transfer some of the things that he learned from Tom Brady over to Caleb as well, although I don't think Caleb needs a lot of help with that from what we hear. I think that Matt Eberflus, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that, yes, he's been in the meeting rooms. I don't know that I don't even think he should go every day, given that, you know, you've got a defense to worry about. But he does have a defensive coordinator this year again, so maybe that can take some guys some duties off of his plate, so he can pay attention to the quarterback.
The Packers as a story, like a national story, real quiet after the Jordan Love signing. What's going on at their camp? Is there anything newsworthy happening?
No, because it's business as usual, and this has been business as usual. That's not obviously something Bears fans want to hear, but. I mean, this is their third straight franchise quarterback that they found in the manner that they found them. So this is absolutely expected. And also, I mean, there are so many different weapons around Jordan Love, but they're also not flashy guys. I mean, I guess you could call Josh Jacobs flashy now, given that they uncharacteristically went out and spent money on him. But like, what's a running back really doing in camp? There's not contact allowed with your own guys. So there's just not, it's just business as usual in Green Bay. And that's not newsworthy, unfortunately, but it's probably fortunate because it just means stability and consistency and the fact that Green Bay is on track, again, much to the chagrin of Chicago fans.
Check out Carmen Vitale on her weekly show on Fox Sports Radio. Watch her, follow her on social because she's covering the entire NFC North. We appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
That's Carmen Vitale, always a welcome presence on this show.
So, Dan, I feel like the next segment we might have to just like toggle between White Sox and Bears.
Sure, we're capable of doing that.
Well, the reason that I say that is that there's some news from Bears that we need to react to, both on the Hard Knocks front and on the offensive line front.
Yep.
And then, obviously, Chris Getz is finishing up his Zoom call with everyone, and he has a better timeline for us on what's going on with Pedro Grifol.
All right, we'll keep you on top of everything, and that's all the reason you need to stay right here with us, Bernstein and Holmes, on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score, 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 The Score.
Well, we're going to try to balance everything out. We've got White Sox stuff. We have a press conference wrapping up that I think is raising more questions than it's answering.
I don't think the White Sox did a good job of meeting their objective for having Chris Getz speak today.
You had weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to prepare this. This didn't, like I say,
this is not a surprise.
You didn't get a middle of the night phone call that says you got to fire a bunch of people. You did that with your minor league teams. You've had to deal with that before.
It was no surprise that Pedro Grifol would not be managing the White Sox by hook or by crook. It was like one of those things.
And the rollout of this today evinced a general manager.
It's been clumsy.
Who seems weak, ineffectual, and uncertain.
Seems very clumsy. And that's what we have come to expect from the White Sox. It's not great.
So here's what gets said about why now.
The conversations about the timing of this decision going on for weeks, if not months. Why did it maybe take this long to arrive at this conclusion? It seems so from the outside that the team has been underperforming and maybe even failing to meet your own expectations throughout much of this season. Why this late in the season as opposed to earlier?
Well, you know, we knew this season was going to have its struggles. You know, based on the roster that we have. And so, you know, when you make a change, you want to be very certain that it's going to be effective. And, you know, there are a lot of different factors, you know, in why a team is underperforming. It could be health related. It could be lack of motivation. It could be just a flawed roster in the sense that other teams are better. So, you know, it takes a really thorough process to make decisions like these. You know, a major league roster is a reflection of, you know, upwards to 5 years of work. So when you've got a manager that's just in year two, you want to make sure that, you know, you're making the right decision. And as time went on and, you know, we were learning more about what the needs are of this organization and where the direction we want to head, it became clearer and clearer that it was time for a change. You know, I spoke about how we went into the All-Star break and came out of the All-Star break and felt disappointed and didn't feel like we were moving in the right direction. There was a stretch of the season where, we just were coming a little short and weren't finishing off games. And then those games became a little bit further out of reach more often. So with all that being said, there is no perfect time, but felt like the time to make this move was now.
What? I don't get it.
I think the answer could have been a lot shorter.
I have no concept of what he's trying to express there.
I do. He's trying to express that they wanted to factor in how bad the team is before assessing Pedro's performance. I said that in 10 seconds. It took him about 10 minutes.
But that's
minutes.
Inextricably linked
2 minutes and 5 seconds.
To Pedro's performance. Like, you can't view them independently.
I think that they're trying to control for how bad the roster is. All the stuff that we've been talking about. Does Pedro know what he's doing independent of how bad his team is?
No. He doesn't.
That's what they found out. And once they figured that out, they fired him.
I could have told them that months ago.
Of course you could have.
Anybody watching this team could have told them that months ago.
That's why he spoke to folks from the outside wondering, why did it take so long for you to do this? They wanted to control the bias of, well, you know, this roster's bad. What do you expect a manager to do? And then they saw that the manager was not doing anything.
Right.
He said, well, you can still do stuff. Even with a bad roster, you might not win games, but you can instill winning in a bad team without winning baseball games because of your talent.
And that's even looking at the harder variables. If you talk about the soft stuff and talk to your players and have a sense of what's happening in there, and I'm not saying spy, I'm just saying know what's happening with your team. They have had no respect for him from jump.
I think that that's probably where all of this came to a head.
Gee, I wonder where we heard this idea that he had, I don't know, lost the locker room.
And if you go back to last year, there were questions about that. Shane did the hard reporting on it. And I know a couple of Shane's sources. Mm-hmm. And I feel pretty confident that he knew what he was talking about. And the White Sox have backed what Shane's reporting was up.
Yes.
By firing the manager.
Yes.
Who clearly didn't have great rapport. No matter what guys say tomorrow when they get to the ballpark at 3 o'clock and Grady Sizemore is their manager. Oh, we love Pedro. No matter what they say on the record, what they were saying off the record is a different story. And I think part of what went into Pedro no longer being the manager of the White Sox, along with him not being good at all of the things that you want a manager to be good at, even with the caveat of his roster's bad. I think Chris Getz could have used less words to say it.
It's almost like he's sort of walking blindly around a room trying to figure out where the walls of the doorways are when he talks.
Maybe he's trying to figure out where the landmines are when he talks.
Figure those out beforehand.
I agree with you.
This team just makes me crazy. And did anyone ask what La Russa's role is going to be specifically?
I don't... Dan, you were showing me the Guar Billy Ocean thing.
How awesome is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, that's, you got to ask that. All right. With everything else that's happening, and you're going to hire this guy or this guy, why is Tony La Russa still in the position he's in, and is he going to remain in that position?
Because he's best friends with the owner.
Okay. So why are you, they don't bother talking with Chris Getz. He can barely get a sentence out of his mouth. Bring La Russa in there and have him explain what's happening.
I don't know if you want that either.
Yeah, because at least that's somebody who, you know, the owner cares about what he thinks.
But speaking of La Russa, it's interesting that Bob Nightingale has identified Skip Schumacher as he described it, a top candidate and maybe the leading candidate. I'm not sure you should have a top candidate right now.
You can't decide this ahead of time. Do the interviews. Find out what people think.
When people talk about the concept of due diligence would dictate that you would go about this by talking to all sorts of people and maybe not depend. Forget about people in White Sox uniforms. Let's not automatically go to people who played for Tony La Russa either. Because that's what Skip Schumacher is.
Yes.
He's a La Russa disciple.
Yes. And it's also not a real process then. If your short list is, all right, who's Tony going to like? Who cares? What is he doing here? This is not going to be an organization that anybody takes seriously that is being run by Tony La Russa.
It does feel like if you want to spread a wider net to try and get people excited about the opportunity that's in front of them, that you would want them to feel like they have a fair chance of getting the job. Maybe if it's not equal, but a fair chance of it. And that would lead to candidates being like, I'm good. I'm good on taking this interview because I know it's not going anywhere because you're just going to hire Skip Schumacher partially because he played for Tony La Russa. Shrug emoji. Not that Skip Schumacher's not qualified. He's got managerial bona fides. Like he's not a bad candidate on his own merits. It's just that there is that connection. So while you're controlling for a lot of things, you should control for that.
This is an opportunity, though, to have this process, to have the ability to bring, outside of any tampering rules, to bring into your offices people from other organizations. This is a free chance.
Yeah.
Rather than remaining cloistered and insular and, well, they've got to understand what we do. No, because what you do sucks.
Well, at the beginning of this thing, Getz did talk like he would like to go outside of the house. But if the house is still, if you're going to hire something that's house adjacent, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel like you're doing your best to try and find the best candidate, no matter where he or she might be. Go talk to some people. And it seems like a really interesting concept. I know that this show, our show in particular, we've got people who run businesses on a big scale. Like, I'm a small business owner, but the House of L only has me. But people who run businesses, I wonder what they think of this. And I know it's not apples to apples, but the idea of the connective tissue that kind of binds baseball to itself. I had this conversation with Theo 4 years ago. The idea of continuing to hire people who look or sound just like you do. Now, my thing is, I'm good with that if you go through the process of taking a look around, allowing people to tell you where you may have misstepped, allowing someone to wow you.
Or inform you or open your eyes to something that you didn't consider because somebody in another organization is doing it. But the reason why they don't do it is because so many of them know the answers and they know what somebody, a credible candidate, is going to tell them, and they don't want to hear it because it involves massive infrastructural expenditures. And at this stage of an end stage organization and an end stage ownership, they're in the process of drying up and going away. They're not in the process of expansion and investment. The White Sox are at the end of a regime, and what you're going to get is more continuation of whatever they've been doing as they withdraw rather than engage. And it's part of the problem. They're at an end stage. The next owner will do all this, not this one.
Well, then that makes a very – that continues to paint a very bleak picture for White Sox fans who I feel horrible for. Because there are other ways to go about doing all of this stuff. And their resistance to it is what's really sad. Like, really sad. For them to maybe even know at some levels of the organization, this isn't, we should do more, we should do better. And it makes you also wonder, like, I look at Chris Getz and go, he probably jumped a few steps to be a general manager. I had a baseball executive tell me when the hire was made that he's probably 5 years away from being a legitimate candidate to be a general manager. Okay? So fine, he jumped steps. And I can't be mad at him for wanting to improve his standing in baseball, to look at an opportunity and say, man, I can do that job. I don't need any more time. I can do it. And then you get into the job and you go, oh, that's why my predecessors failed. Oh, now that I'm in it, I get it. Maybe I didn't get it before. I heard Howard Stern talking with John Cena. It's a really great interview. And Cena was talking about how he used to get on The Rock for leaving the WWE and starting a movie career. And Cena, like, famously had talked about how he was never going to leave the WWE and how could The Rock love the WWE and leave it. And then he became like as big as The Rock in the WWE and was like, you know what I'm going to do? Movies and television shows and all sorts of other stuff. And he didn't realize it until he was that guy. And I wonder if a realization like that is happening with Chris Getz, where he goes, maybe he does make the argument to Jerry, I can do this better. I can do it better than those two guys. I'll replace those two guys by myself. Jerry likes what he hears and goes, okay, you got it, young man. Go to work. And then Getz gets in the office and he's like, this is way worse than I thought. I might be in over my head. And there are factors that I didn't think about when I pitched myself for this job. And now we're seeing it, and it's sad. It's sad.
I don't like our team.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. We mentioned there's some Bears things. There's a little bit of Hard Knocks info. We're going to have the producer on it just a little bit.
Yeah, and the sum of all fears, too. The thing that we have been rightly paying attention to now has a little bit more clarity, and the clarity is not going to make you happy as a Bears fan. We'll discuss next here on The Score. Bye.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly you have to look at all those things. You know, if a person's out for an extended period of time, you know, and a player that's in that position is playing very well at a starter level, you know, and doing a good job there, then you create the competition. And you say, hey, there's a competition. You know, people say, well, you can't lose the job because of injury. I don't think that's true. I think that if the guy that's playing there, you know, gives our team a good look and a good benefit for him being in that position, then it's a competition or the other guy could take it over. But that's not just that guard. That's at all positions.
He may have globalized it at the end there, but we catch his drift. We know what he's talking about and who Matt Eberflus is talking about. So now it gets more specific. Now, if you just were joining us, Ryan Bates left the practice field today with an undisclosed injury. And Matt Eberflus made it even more clear what is going on with their expensive starting right guard.
He came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know. So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
I'm sorry, do you see this more like a week-to-week deal now instead of day-to-day, or what's kind of the track?
Yeah, I think it's listed week-to-week. You know, we'll see where it goes, but, again, we're always checking it up on him day-to-day.
Wow.
Wow, week to week.
I mean, there's still time. There's still time. But if cohesion is the thing that you think is Nate Davis's talent so much above Shelton or Bates at guard?
Or whoever's behind them now.
Right. That it's worth you saying when he's healthy, he'll start no matter what, and he doesn't need the reps. I imagine that that's one of the questions that they're asking themselves and trying to find the answer to. And how do you go about fixing this? And hopefully Bates is okay, because then you have another problem of what to do. This is not going the way that you would hope for Caleb Williams' start. But according to Matt Eberflus, they are going to play the starters, and that now has a different connotation to it in their second preseason game, which is really kind of their first for the starters, against Buffalo on Saturday.
We also got a little bit of news from a friend of ours who's going to be joining us in just a bit. Jason Leisure.
Oh yeah, that Matt Eberflus was in on some of the editing of Hard Knocks, and that the new guy in charge of comms, Ted Cruz, helped them shape it the way that they wanted, which is kind of what we thought we saw on Tuesday night. We thought that we saw them take what I think is better care of their organization than the Giants did. I am curious, though, like when we talk with Pat Harris, one of the questions that I'm going to have is, like, what's the right balance of that? Like, how much is too much where you're like, I don't know if this is going to end up being good or not. But I do think that there now are inherent conflict that is worth it. I was thinking about this too, Dan, when it comes to Hard Knocks and like us reacting to it. I think that most Bears fans, one, they're excited to see like Halas Hall, because most people haven't been up there. See Halas Hall, see the guys practicing, all of that stuff. But I also think Bears fans are so into what's happening with the team, whether they're listening to us or reading The Athletic or the Sun-Times or they're going online, they're following people, that they may watch the next couple of episodes of Hard Knocks and be like, I already knew that.
Well, because people are going out of their way to grab as much content and information as they can. I thought you were going to say that there are some people who may be disappointed in that it shows
the banality of it.
The and warts and all, that development is nonlinear. And there is a lot of irrational exuberance in the market right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of froth in the market. There are a lot of otherwise intelligent people who are Caleb crazy. There are a lot of people who wouldn't be fanboying out who don't want to hear the slightest bit of criticism, who don't want to hear anything that threatens a buzz. And that's always a little scary.
It is.
When people are doing that, just because, and I think some of this came down to the insanity that surrounded the Justin Caleb thing and how long it took for people to have some reality sink in that regard. But I'm hearing it from people that I consider intelligent people. One of the smartest people I know on the face of the earth has become an absolute, like, frothing at the mouth Bears meatball fanboy.
What I hope happens, though, I hope that people are looking at some of the things that could derail the party. And that's kind of our job to do. And we accept the fact that you might not like when we don't have the pom-poms out. But having the pom-poms out is not our job. But these are the types of things. I'm glad that Grody made mention of it today, where he's like, you know, this is the type of stuff that didn't put Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields in a great place to succeed. Layla talks about it all the time on this show, that everyone thinks that Caleb's going to erase everything. And that's not fair to Caleb. Now, maybe those people are right. And if they are, it means great things for the Bears. If he's so good that he can make up for a lot of the problems that the Bears will have, that would be phenomenal. That means you're in great shape as an organization. I think that they have actively tried to do everything possible to make this a soft landing and to get him off on the right foot. But there are still going to be things that need to be talked about. This thing with Nate Davis is significant. And I know people are like, you're spending all this time talking about a guard. Yeah, because of, one, how much money he was paid and what the expectation is. Two, this is supposed to be Ryan Poles' specialty, his offensive lineman, because he played the position. Three, because of the cascade effect that it could have on the rest of your offensive line and because of the connection that you want to have between your center and your quarterback. That's why it's worth discussing. And we might get to September and Nate Davis is fine and everything's cool. But you should at least have it on your radar so that if it does get to September and he's not fine and Ryan Bates is playing guard instead of being the better choice at center and things don't go well, what I don't want is people being like, hey, Dan and Lawrence, why didn't you guys tell us about that? We're telling you about it. The people up there are telling you about it. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
When we come back, Jason Leisure will give us his thoughts, the latest on what's been a busy day, not just in Chicago sports, but certainly up at Hallis Hall. A lot of news, and he's got the latest on the score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly you have to look at all those things. You know, if a person's out for an extended period of time, you know, and a player that's in that position is playing very well at a starter level, you know, and doing a good job there, then you create the competition. And you say, hey, there's a competition. You know, people say, well, you can't lose the job because of injury. I don't think that's true. I think that if the guy that's playing there, you know, gives our team a good look and a good benefit for him being in that position, then it's a competition or the other guy could take it over. But that's not just that guard. That's at all positions.
He may have globalized it at the end there, but we catch his drift. We know what he's talking about and who Matt Eberflus is talking about. So now it gets more specific. Now, if you just were joining us, Ryan Bates left the practice field today with an undisclosed injury, and Matt Eberflus made it even more clear what is going on with their expensive starting right guard.
He came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know. So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
Do you see this more like a week-to-week deal now instead of day-to-day, or what's kind of the track?
Yeah, I think it's listed week-to-week. You know, we'll see where it goes, but, again, we're always checking it up on him day-to-day.
Wow. Wow, week to week.
I mean, there's still time. There's still time. But if cohesion is the thing that you think is Nate Davis's talent so much above Shelton or Bates at guard?
Or whoever's behind them now.
Right. That it's worth you saying when he's healthy, he'll start no matter what. And he doesn't need the reps. I imagine that that's one of the questions that they're asking themselves and trying to find the answer to. And how do you go about fixing this? And hopefully Bates is okay, because then you have another problem of what to do. This is not going the way that you would hope for Caleb Williams' start. But according to Matt Eberflus, they are going to play the starters, and that now has a different connotation to it in their second preseason game, which is really kind of their first for the starters, against Buffalo on Saturday.
We also got a little bit of news from a friend of ours who's going to be joining us in just a bit. Jason Leisure.
Oh yeah. That Matt Eberflus was in on some of the editing of Hard Knocks, and that the new guy in charge of comms, Ted Cruz, helped them shape it the way that they wanted, which is kind of what we thought we saw on Tuesday night. We thought that we saw them take what I think is better care of their organization than the Giants did. I am curious, though, like when we talk with Pat Harris, one of the questions that I'm going to have is, like, what's the right balance of that? Like, how much is too much where you're like, I don't know if this is going to end up being good or not. But I do think that there now are inherent conflict that is worth it. I was thinking about this too, Dan, when it comes to Hard Knocks and like us reacting to it. I think that most Bears fans, one, they're excited to see like Halas Hall, because most people haven't been up there. See Halas Hall, see the guys practicing, all of that stuff. But I also think Bears fans are so into what's happening with the team, whether they're listening to us or reading The Athletic or the Sun-Times or they're going online, they're following people, that they may watch the next couple of episodes of Hard Knocks and be like, I already knew that.
Well, because people are going out of their way to grab as much content and information as they can. I thought you were going to say that there are some people who may be disappointed in that it shows
the banality of it.
The banality and warts and all, that development is nonlinear. And there is a lot of irrational exuberance in the market right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of froth in the market. There are a lot of otherwise intelligent people who are Caleb crazy. There are a lot of people who wouldn't be fanboying out who don't want to hear the slightest bit of criticism, who don't want to hear anything that threatens a buzz. And that's always a little scary.
It is.
When people are doing that, just because, and I think some of this came down to the insanity that surrounded the Justin Caleb thing and how long it took for people to have some reality sink in that regard. But I'm hearing it from people that I consider intelligent people. One of the smartest people I know on the face of the earth has become an absolute, like, frothing at the mouth Bears meatball fanboy.
What I hope happens, though, I hope that people are looking at some of the things that could derail the party. And that's kind of our job to do. And we accept the fact that you might not like when we don't have the pom-poms out. But having the pom-poms out is not our job. But these are the types of things. I'm glad that Grody made mention of it today, where he's like, you know, this is the type of stuff that didn't put Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields in a great place to succeed. Layla talks about it all the time on this show, that everyone thinks that Caleb's going to erase everything. And that's not fair to Caleb. Now, maybe those people are right. And if they are, it means great things for the Bears. If he's so good that he can make up for a lot of the problems that the Bears will have, that would be phenomenal. That means you're in great shape as an organization. I think that they have actively tried to do everything possible to make this a soft landing and to get him off on the right foot. But there are still going to be things that need to be talked about. This thing with Nate Davis is significant. And I know people are like, you're spending all this time talking about a guard. Yeah. Because of, one, how much money he was paid and what the expectation is. Two, this is supposed to be Ryan Poles' specialty, is offensive lineman, because he played the position. Three, because of the cascade effect that it could have on the rest of your offensive line. And because of the connection that you want to have between your center and your quarterback, that's why it's worth discussing. And it may, we might get to September and Nate Davis is fine and everything's cool. But you should at least have it on your radar so that if it does get to September and he's not fine and Ryan Bates is playing guard instead of being the better choice at center and things don't go well, what I don't want is people being like, hey, Dan and Lawrence, why didn't you guys tell us about that? We're telling you about it. The people up there are telling you about it. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
When we come back, Jason Leisure will give us his thoughts, the latest on what's been a busy day, not just in Chicago sports, but certainly up at Hallis Hall. A lot of news, and he's got the latest on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.